Lee Swindell, who is here to speak on the first presentation. Madam Clerk, would you call item one?
Item number one from the Vice President of of Business and Industry Development, Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, providing a presentation on programming, including employment updates. This item is informational only and thus otherwise directed by the committee.
And Mr. Swindell was kind enough to be at the Zufari Conference Center when we had our Community Development Business Partners program, and had an opportunity to meet with him and see the presentation that he presented there. He was kind enough to agree to present for our committee on the work of his Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. So, Mr. Swindell, I'll let you introduce yourself and make any comments you'd like, and then start with the PowerPoint.
Thank you, Chairwoman Jerzyk. First of all, thank you for the invitation to appear, and my apologies that in my previous invitation I wasn't able to participate due to weather conditions at the time. My purpose here today was at Chairwoman Jerzyk's request to give you sort of an overview of current business conditions in the state of Wisconsin. I'm the Vice President of Business and Industry Development at the WEDC. That's one of four program divisions, and our primary focus is on cluster, sector, and driver industry development, where we identify and place offensive investments to drastically and dramatically expand the business footprint of our most competitive business sectors. Among those, and probably the spear point in that cluster strategy, is right here in Milwaukee with the Water Council. We've identified water technology growth and development as being probably the chief competitive driver, along with food and beverage processing, as well as electrical machinery and components, as being, the most highly competitive business sectors in the Milwaukee metropolitan statistical area. In fact, we have just refreshed a 2005 benchmark study undertaken by the Manufacturing Performance Institute for the year 2012 to identify what's changed in that intervening seven-year period. And in fact, energy, power, controls, and electronic components and machinery continues to be the most aggressively expanding and highest growing industry sector in the state of Wisconsin, where we have a very identifiable, if not substantial, footprint. We look at small business conditions for one primary reason. They are a leading indicator of future economic performance, whereas something like consumer sentiment tends to be a coincident or lagging indicator. It responds to things that have already happened, whereas business sentiment tends to be much more forward-looking in the chain of custody of the business cycle. Small business owners in particular tend to identify emergent changes in demand, changing financial conditions in the commercial marketplace to a level of magnification that's not typically seen by the average consumer, and so we pay particular and close attention to those business readings. I think it's fair to say that the in-state perception of Wisconsin's business friendliness and suitability as a climate to both start and grow business has vastly improved in the last couple of years. The most recent survey of Wisconsin employers undertaken by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce shows that about 94% of those surveyed believe that Wisconsin is headed in the right direction, up from 10% in just 2010. And we see this reflected across other readings. But we measure both in and out of state perceptions because it's that binary flow of commerce into and out of the state, both imports and exports particularly, that define what our overall underlying economic health is. In the American Top States for Business Survey in 2012, undertaken by CNBC, Wisconsin, as you will see in the lowest most row of this display, appears number 17th. And that's a dramatic improvement from the previous reading for this barometer, in which we placed at 24th, and prior to that we were at about 41st. So we're making not just incremental, but I would say sweeping progress in out-of-state perceptions about the suitability of Wisconsin as a place to start and grow a business.
Mr. Swindell, if I may, are you going to take questions at the end?
Yeah, let's let him finish his presentation then.
So the most recent reading here at number 17 is the highest position that Wisconsin's have ever occupied in that survey. Our intent is to bring Wisconsin into the top 10 in this benchmark ranking. Executive leaders additionally are more positive about Wisconsin. Earlier this year, Chief Executive Magazine ranked Wisconsin 20th in its best and worst states for business survey. That was up 4 spots from last year and up 21 spots from 2010. So again, these perceptions are the things that materialize long before business decisions materialize, and perception to a large extent informs investment. In a positive business climate, we tend to see expanding business investment. In a contractionary business environment, as we witnessed in the period between 2010 and particularly 2007 and 2010, business investment basically falls off the fiscal cliff. I'm happy to report, and I think this is one I draw particular attention to, that new business growth is recovering from the trough in this reading in 2010, which is to say we now have a net business births plus reading, whereas 2 years ago we had a net business deaths negative reading. The number of new business entities formed through October 2012 in Wisconsin numbers at about 30,000, and that's a healthy increase of 8.2% compared to the same period in 2011. This is from data derived from the Division of Corporate and Consumer Services, the Department of Financial Institutions, and its new business formation data. But what is, I think, uniquely positive in this analysis is that the southeast of this state is registering especially healthy readings. In the September 2012 Manpower Survey, it indicated that employment outlook in the southeast of Wisconsin was the best in the nation, and they do these readings across all states in the United States. And companies are more likely to hire in Milwaukee than anywhere else in the country. So the recovery in the Milwaukee statistical area economy has been, in my mind, a marked recovery, particularly compared to many other urban regions in the United States. The question was posed by Manpower to about 18,000 companies whether they plan to add jobs over the next 3 months, and Milwaukee was found to have the most optimistic reading by employers there. Likewise, according to that same survey from the period July to September, 31% of the companies in southeast Wisconsin said they planned to hire, while only 2% expected to reduce staff. And another 62% expect to maintain the current workforce levels. Only 5% are not certain of their hiring plans. So we're seeing slow and steady hiring growth in the Milwaukee region, which has been the trend that it's been tracking for the last 3 years, and so very much headed in the right direction in our judgment. We pay particularly close attention to the Milwaukee Metropolitan Area Chamber's Business Outlook Survey and the business confidence readings that are derived from the data that they gather. And in that most recent study, 63% of businesses predict rising real sales levels for 2012 as a whole. That's certainly been reflected in the recent most 3 month data. And that's down from 77% who saw calendar sales gains in June, and 73% that forecast annual gains at the beginning of 2012. But we're beginning to see a very sharp uptick in this reading again now. And we expect that to continue. That's reflected to a large extent, I think, by, let's put it this way. Every day we have a national referendum on the economy, and that's called the stock and bond markets. And that is a reading composed of the opinions of millions of investors, and with a third consecutive year of year-on-year gains in stock prices and profits, that tends to suggest the curve for future economic growth can expect to steepen as we see demand begin to strengthen. The market has, to a large extent, begun to shrug off the uncertainty and the ill effects of the Eurozone crisis. And that's irrespective of the fact of the fiscal difficulties that we face at both the federal and, in many cases, state levels. The market is discounting those negatives as being not terribly significant drag on future economic performance, and we should be, I think, emboldened by that, the durability of the market to shrug off what would otherwise be seen as prime negatives as being not non-factors, but not sufficiently negative to restrain a rising tide of economic growth. I cited for you some recent data on the state of Wisconsin alone in the way of business birth and death data. But what's encouraging to me is that we're beginning to see a equivalent reading nationally, which tends to validate what we're seeing here in the state. If you look at the curves displayed in this chart, with births represented by the brown curve, deaths represented by the blue, you'll note that in late 2010, we had a positive crossover. And that's national data derived from the Bureau of Labor Statistics and Business Employment Dynamics. And so what we've seen registered here in the state of Wisconsin is reflected nationally, and that is a positive divergence that we really had not seen. And even when we did see that, that was a declining reading in the period of 2006 to 2007. So in a period of 5 years, we have not seen this positive divergence, and it's being reflected not only in the state but nationally as well. And this is likewise reflected in bank lending figures. If you pay any attention at all to banking data, and we all should do that because it's a very strong barometer of underlying economic health, I, for example, stay very close to what's going on in the banking industry through our Financial Services Consortium, in which many members of the Milwaukee marketplace participate, where at the beginning of that consortium a year and a half ago, business sentiment probably couldn't have been more negative. I've rarely seen such depressed readings from actual practitioners in banking, finance, and insurance than I saw then. But that has substantially changed, particularly in the last year, and it's reflected in bank lending data. This chart, for example, illustrates the duality of tightening loan standards and credit conditions versus stronger demand. And again, we've seen, it's been a bit of a volatile reading, but seen a significant divergence of stronger demand versus tightening loan standards in the latter part of 2011, and that's been strongly reflected in bank profit and new loan demand readings. And that's being underpinned to a large extent by new demand for autos and new demand for mortgages. And I think we've all seen evidence of that uptick in the real estate market in the last 6 months in particular, which is in my mind going to be the essential predicate for sustained economic growth in both Wisconsin, the southeast of Wisconsin, and nationally. Without a sustained recovery in a sector that accounts for some 21% of total GDP nationally, without that sustained recovery, it will be very difficult to sustain economic recovery in general. The Small Business Quarterly Bulletin by the SBA that was executed in June of 2012 indicated that overall small business trends are positive, with employment increases, proprietors' incomes up, and business bankruptcies trending down, which is a curve that we have certainly seen affirmed in the last 6 months. But I think the thing that I want to emphasize is that up until about the last 3 months, you know, business optimism has been extremely volatile. I think that is about to change, and the reason that I think it is about to change is that the most lagging indicators in economic performance, which have tended to be employment growth, new business lending, new mortgage lending, new housing and commercial construction, have all registered moderate but consistently positive readings for the last 6 months, and we have good reason to believe that that volatile trending curve upward from 2009 is about to register serial advances month to month for at least the next 6 to 9 months. And small business optimism, again, very much powers new business lending, new hiring, business expansion, investment in new capital and equipment, and it's a vital prerequisite for small business growth, which basically powers most of the employment growth in the state of Wisconsin. The one thing I wanted to emphasize about this recovery that I think viscerally has kind of been evident to all of us that have lived through it is that up until now, this has tended to be cycles of micro expansion in this recovery, and cycles of contraction have been extremely volatile. what we are beginning to see now is that the duration of both expansions and contractions are increasing, which means they're becoming more stable, both in positive and negative directions, but that the amplitude is smaller. So we're seeing moderate patterns of growth, moderate patterns of contraction, as opposed to what we saw, for example, in the mid-2000s, which was a pattern of rapidly expanding growth. Now we see a much more moderately upsloping curve. Likewise, when we see retrenchment in business confidence and business investment, that retrenchment is not quite as deep and not quite as severe as what we saw in early 2000, and certainly not as severe as we saw in 2007 and 2008. This Business Outlook survey largely reflects some of the other readings that I provided you earlier on small business confidence for the Milwaukee area. The state government's role in support of small business creation and growth spans across all of our operating divisions, because we have the Economic and Community Development Division that is very much concentrated on the sorts of things that this committee generally focuses on, which is conventional economic development, standard tools, loans, and incentives to provide to businesses that wish to site companies in Wisconsin, those that pre-exist here that wish to expand, whereas my division focuses instead not at the retail level, individual companies, but in sectors. We focus on sector-wide strategies to increase expansion and competitiveness. The international division, in turn, if you read this morning's Journal Sentinel, you would have seen, is very much actively involved in export promotion and foreign direct investment. That's the reasoning behind the governor's trade mission to China in April. Enterprise and innovation, one of our sister divisions, works very closely with my division in particular in targeting accelerator strategies. So whereas my division is the division that made the pivotal investment in the Water Technology Accelerator building on the former Pittsburgh Avenue, now known as Freshwater Way, without which there would be no accelerator building, the city of Milwaukee in all likelihood would not be targeting the development of the adjacent Reed Street Yards as a water technology business park. But we work in concert with enterprise and innovation to co-invest in these accelerators. So I have invested out of my program budget. E&I has invested out of its program budget. I intend to place an equivalent investment before the close of this calendar year in an energy, power, and controls accelerator in the former Eaton building over in the 30th Street corridor. E&I will co-invest in that accelerator as a means to provide small companies in energy, power, and control sector access to the specialist labs and expertise that's going to be resident in that building to speed their time to market with newly introduced technologies and to further strengthen our already substantial presence in that business sector. So although each of us has a primary quadrant to which we deploy, we work in very close integration with each other to make sure that our strategies are fully aligned. That largely concludes my remarks, Chairwoman Jersey, unless there are any questions that I can answer for you.
Thank you. I think there are some questions, so we appreciate your willingness to stay for those. Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Swindell, for the CNBC rankings, I'm looking at workforce and economy. What can we do? What can we do as a state to improve those numbers?
Well, in the first case, Supervisor Johnson, I want to say that Wisconsin are certainly by no means the least well-positioned in its workforce, particularly in manufacturing and healthcare, in which we are seen as a highly desirable geography for new siting and investment. But as to the question, what can we do to improve that reading, we are very much involved in the workforce paradox, figuring out. We deploy at both the macro and the micro level. When I say the macro level, we recently acquired about two-thirds of a million-dollar grant for the Skills Wisconsin Initiative, in which we are basically going to build a complementary tool that assesses both workforce availability, and that is the supply side, what is available, and then workforce need, which is an assessment of employer needs across the Workforce Development Board regions of the state, which is the which is going to work in concert with the labor market information system that the state as a whole eventually adopts. But we're also deploying at the micro level. One of the things that we've been working closely on in Milwaukee is with a number of principal concerns, large businesses that are responsible for a very high percentage of employment that lack the skilled talent necessary for mobile application development. And this is in both the healthcare and retail space, where we as a state are short by about 5,000 known skilled practitioners in this discipline right now. And we project that number by 2020 to be on the order of 15,000. And this is a key competitive impediment for us because in financial services, retail, and healthcare, delivery to the consumer is very much flowing across the channel of mobile applications. That's both for purposes of marketing, for customer management. In banking, it's transactions. In retail, it's purchases and marketing. In healthcare, it's the relationship with the customer as a whole. And so we've been working in very close quarters with the Greater Milwaukee Committee and a subcommittee of the Greater Milwaukee Committee to identify how to provide an alternate stream of these skilled practitioners to the marketplace. And partly as a result of our efforts, I'm aware that there's a private institution, can't name it because this isn't yet public, that's going to be developing a certificate series in mobile application development in the very near term here to furnish upwards of, I think, initially on the order of about 75 students per year, but then that follows an incremental increase year on year until by year five they anticipate they can furnish up to 200. And if we could replicate that success across other institutional delivery in other universities and technical colleges, we can get to about parity with what the market needs. I don't think we're ever going to create a surplus. In fact, I don't really want to create a surplus because then that surplus is drawn off by other states. We would educate the workforce and then use the skilled resource to adjacent geographies. But then we're also working with organizations like the New Manufacturing Alliance in Green Bay for a mentoring program involving retirees, where retirees with some 30-plus years of manufacturing expertise and talent, particularly in specialized technologies, are going to be brought back into companies to mentor both incoming new employees and existing employees to get them up to delivery speed much more quickly, because the employers have told us, we don't have time to do this. And we are supporting this effort financially, by the way, up to $25,000 per company to help support this initiative. So the companies have to pay three-fourths. We pay a fourth of this. So, again, we're deploying both at the large macro level and the smaller micro level to help offset this misalignment in workforce availability and workforce skill. And it's our judgment that we need to adopt diverse solutions. There is no one master state-sponsored solution that's going to cure this. And our recent experience only validates that for us.
And for the economy, what can we do?
For
the economy, for the economy, what can we do to improve the economy? You talked at length about the workforce efforts, initiatives.
Well, I think we need to recognize where our strengths are and play to those strengths, Supervisor Johnson, as we're doing in water technology, as we're doing in energy, power, and control. You know, it's not widely known in this state that financial services accounts for some 15% of the state's total gross domestic product, but no one ever talks about the health of the financial services sector generally. They talk about banks, community banks, and commercial banks. They talk about insurers, and they talk about credit unions, but they tend to look at those things as disparate, distinct things. They're not. It's a master sector. And so we've convened that sector, and it's identified its own workforce challenges, and we're going to go attack the solutions to those with them in working committees. We're already deploying to that. But likewise, we need to attract new investment into the state and spur exports. The companies that export, the historical data is very clear. They pay higher premium wages. They are subject to much smaller, if any, contractions in their workforce when economic conditions worsen, and they have diversified demand. So if demand is weaker here, as it was in the last recession, but stronger in Asia and Europe, they can tap that demand. So we have to develop much greater and deeper export proficiency among small businesses in the state, and we are deployed to do that in the international division right now through programs like Export Tech. Export Tech teaches a company within 3 months how to develop a robust export strategy that's peer-reviewed, that is by other small companies and other export specialists, and to go and deploy that plan immediately. And we've had notable successes in this program. Wisconsin runs this offering better than any other state does. And that allows small businesses to acquire that ability, because this is not a native and natural ability for most small businesses. In 3 months, for less than $5,000, if they were to try to acquire that solution in the open market, that would take 9 months minimum and cost them at least $75,000. So this is very much a small business aligned offering, very specialized one. And we've had phenomenal success. There was one company recently that completed that program in this calendar year and has already registered an additional $900,000 in sale from export development. They've just started. But we need to attract foreign direct investment. We have some very attractive sectors in this state. I've named a couple of them, but I've not yet included, for example, specialty dairy. I live in Platteville, Wisconsin. Just in the last 4 months, Emmy Roth has invested $46 million in a new specialist cheese manufacturing facility there because they find this a very attractive market with an experienced, skilled workforce that understands the dairy business, very high-quality input in the raw and processed milk that they can't get elsewhere. And that sector has grown by 25% in the last 6 years. Not widely known by a lot of people in Wisconsin, but it hasn't been steady, slow growth. It's been a pretty sharp slope of growth because this is seen as a preferred. And if you look at the number of cheese production facilities owned, just in my geography alone, I have a French producer, two Swiss producers, a Danish producer. That's just in the southwest corner alone. So Wisconsin is very much seen as an attractive investment destination for foreign companies, but we need to make it increasingly so across other business sectors.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Supervisor Schmidt, and then Supervisor Mayo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On our agenda today, we have a number three and number four. We're putting $1 million into WRTP, Big Step, $1 million Economic Development Fund. I'm just wondering, I know Mr. Swindell, if you're staying for a few minutes or have to leave right away, but I'm wondering just with the parties here, Madam Chair, if I go ahead a little bit, is there any synergy? You said, Milwaukee County, southeastern Wisconsin plays such an important role, obviously, in our economy. Are you familiar with some of the employment training programs we have? Are you familiar with the Economic Development Fund we're starting up?
I am familiar.
Comment on those, or maybe when those people come up eventually, I'd like to see if there's any synergy or we're working together and we have the same kind of data that we're working with.
I think there's every possibility that we can coordinate efforts more fully, sir.
I'd like to see that then. Thank you.
Supervisor Mayo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You talked real quick about the Eaton Corporation. That's in my district. What are you trying to do with that building now?
Well, currently the Wisconsin Energy Research Consortium, which is one of our primary partners, has placed its offices in that building.
Correct.
It is our intent to invest up to $750,000 in an energy, power, and controls accelerator in that building. And in the accelerator model, we make available to small and mid-sized companies in that business sector specialized technology, labs, and academic expertise to conceive, perfect, and deploy commercial technologies in energy, power, and controls. A company that comes to mind, I can't name it at the moment, this company manufactures specialist equipment to immunize individual microgrid networks as well as entire municipal grid networks against electromagnetic pulse damage. It's a very specialized technology.
Are they located in that sector, in that area? Because there's a couple.
Not at liberty to say at the moment.
Okay, I know who you're talking about. Okay.
And so, but these companies, despite the strength of their IP, and these are very brilliant people, I'll be the first to acknowledge that, they don't have the business acumen, they don't have the technical bandwidth, and they don't have the financial wherewithal to take an extraordinarily competitive technology, bring it to market, and power market adoption quickly. But the potential there for that company is vast. It's huge.
So actually creating a little business incubator within that Eden
Corp? In fact, yes. But we tend to avoid use of the term incubator because we're focused on speed to deployment. So bring all assets and resources together at the inflection point to produce the quickest, most impactful outcome for that company that it couldn't otherwise do. Because in an incubator, that tends to be sort of a nurturing environment. Here we're sort of pushing them.
Oh, you jump them on the face.
Yeah, we push them pretty hard in the accelerator model. The companies that are in the water accelerator building over on the former Pittsburgh Avenue, that building is in development, which I think most of you know. That's been prominently played out in the press. There's going to be a water flow lab in one level of that building donated by Badger Meter and A.O. Smith that allows new water technology companies to test and validate their technologies in a facility that costs upward of $1 million, which none of them could individually afford. That's going to be available to them. But there is a massing effect that's produced by these commitments. Foreign companies are clamoring to get into this building. Competitors nationally, with increasing urgency, are expressing the desire and the wish to get in this building. The state of Nevada has joined the Water Council, whereas it was considering creating its own Water Council, ceded that there's no point. You guys are already so mature and advanced on this, it makes no sense for us to do that. And that's an unprecedented development in a period where both governmental, public, and market awareness is beginning to recognize the criticality of the management of water as a scarce natural resource. And the market potential there for the state of Wisconsin is immense. It's almost nth level potential that we're going to be able to tap in the future. And we are perfectly well positioned to exploit that advantage right now.
There's two other things. You need to make sure that you at least touch base with the different chambers besides the MMAC, like the African American chambers and Hispanic.
We do. In fact, that's done out of my division.
Okay, that's good. Second of all, that you also need to make sure that when you talk about quality of life, when you talk about practitioners, but you also got to look at, when you look at companies coming here, transportation. And that's something that you really need to look at, because even though you might bring all these foreign individuals here, if you cannot get that person to that job, it would not happen. The things that you are looking at, are you working, I know that you have certain things in trying to develop practitioners. Are you working with the junior colleges, also the other colleges, and also the schools, and saying these are the future jobs in Wisconsin to get those, with that workforce going?
Well, we're working in partnership with DWD for that purpose.
Okay.
Because that's not a unique understanding that we have alone. That's a shared understanding, and we've just recently built data, recent data behind the Be Bold Competitive Wisconsin workforce study. I think if you have not read that, I strongly urge you to, because it's a highly informative snapshot on our current state and what our probable future state is going to be, and we have a lot of work to do there, and not just at the technical college level, but at the K-12 level.
Correct.
Businesses have an important stake in this and need to be stakeholders. They need to be part of solution definition instead of just, we don't have the luxury anymore of saying, that's a problem that you have to go solve because that's your job. It's not that simple. We need to knit together these very close partnerships between business and industry, K-12, secondary, and post-secondary to make sure that we are early identifying workforce needs and preparing a qualified workforce with the skills and talents needed to provide those to commerce and industry when they're finished with, stupid statement, no one's ever finished with their education anymore, but at the end of their formal education and training.
Thank you.
Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. These microphones are kind of loud. I'm going to back up here. Thank you for coming today. Really appreciate the information. I wanted to ask about SBEs and their access to capital or their access to financing. Are we seeing that this is increasing from banks, that they're being a little bit more lenient? I know in the past those who generally either would qualify kind of got pushed out, and bigger firms were able to access financing. Are we seeing a trend where more SBEs are getting access to actual financing and capital from banks?
Well, as those earlier displays that I had pulled up in my presentation illustrate, we've seen a slight moderation in lending standards and a corresponding uptick in loan demand. But that's not going to be enough. And we've been, as the state's lead economic development organization, we've been quite consistent, if not persistent, in saying the state needs to take an active role in the strategy to both provide and attract investment capital for startup and early stage companies. As a state, we compete very poorly with peer states. Examples include Georgia, North Carolina, Texas. We sort out very poorly. Our rankings have been consistently no higher than the mid-30s. More typically, we're in about the low 40s on a 1 to 50 scale. Because Wisconsin has not historically been seen as a destination for the placement of that kind of investment capital. We're seen as a flyover state, and we've got to change that perception, because we have extraordinarily vibrant industry sectors in this state that, if anything, are hyper-competitive with any peer state. I'll give you one example that you will see, I think, increasing evidence of this in the very near term. Most people don't regard Wisconsin as having anything remotely important in aerospace and aviation, which is at root fundamentally false. We do. It's just not widely known. And most of those companies tend to be deployed, first of all, in the eastern half of the state. The density of these companies tends to fall most between a radiant between Green Bay to Racine, includes the Beloit-Rockford area. In fact, to such a degree, there is a strong presence here that at the Paris Air Show 2 years ago, the chairman of the Rock County Economic Development Association in Illinois, who was also chairwoman of the Rockford Area Aerospace Network, was told by the chairman of, I won't name the company, a prominent French aerospace company, that we know that in the arc surrounding the southern edge of the Great Lakes, between particularly Ohio to Wisconsin, not so much Michigan, that you're a major global player in global aerospace and aviation, but you don't advertise yourselves as such, you don't market yourselves as such, and so we tend not to engage very much with you, because we're looking to work with peers that recognize that they're global players, and you don't seem to recognize that. Well, we're beginning to get that now. And in fact, at the end of this month, the very first meeting of the Aerospace and Aviation Consortium is going to be meeting in Oshkosh to begin to discuss how Wisconsin can more coherently create its marketing message about deep proficiencies that we have in that industry sector. And it's not limited to that alone. So there are a number of things that we need to do. We need to market the state's key assets much better. And for that purpose, one of the things that I'm doing in my division is creating industry abstracts on a serial basis. So I finished the water technology abstract and now working on the energy, power, and controls abstract. The next one will be the food and beverage industry abstract, which basically creates a snapshot of our greatest strengths in these industry sectors for use in both internal in-state promotion, out-of-state promotion, and international promotion, to say we are serious players in these industries. You should look seriously at Wisconsin if you're contemplating a new future siting and expansion of your industry. And we know that there are companies doing that in water technology in particular. I'm aware of one company that wants to move its entire, and it's a company of some significant mass, moving its entire manufacturing operations to Wisconsin because it recognizes that we're the global hub of water technology development in the world. They're accepting that. In fact, this company is already taking up temporary quarters with a Tiger team of about 7 staff in the Water Accelerator building when it opens in early July. They're basically there as sort of the front team to prepare for their future move. So there are a number of important things that we must do to power this kind of growth at both the big and the small company level. But we're going to need the aid and support of our state legislators to secure investment capital to power into the small and mid-sized business sector. And so far, that's been a very difficult hill to climb because it's not well understood, unfortunately. It's just not well understood. This is new stuff. Mm-hmm. This is new stuff for a state legislature to consider. Very few, if any, of them come from an investment banking background, so don't have a complete mastery of how that needs to work and work well. But I think we've got to get there because other states are taking an active role in the development of this investment capital. And it's to me, it's a criticality. We cannot, the conventional sources of lending cannot be counted upon to fill that gap for us.
And one more question. What's your definition of mid-sized businesses, and are they, if they're looking to expand, do they look to banks to get financing to do that, or do they have enough funding on their own budgets to do that?
Well, both things are true, but the dependency is what economic condition prevails at the time. Right now, you've probably seen some of this data. Many of these mid-sized companies, which we regard as companies with between 100 and 500 employees, they're flush with cash. They've been hoarding cash through the recession. And in many cases, their expansion, their new investments in facilities and technologies have not required for them to go and qualify for bank lending. Of course, that won't last forever. Before the recession, yes, their typical borrowing pattern was from community and commercial banks. Many of these companies are family-owned. But whether that trend reasserts itself after they fully deployed reserve cash remains to be seen because the lending standards have tightened considerably. There's no question about that.
Supervisor Weishaupt.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You've talked a lot about what, I guess, our state or what our community, what our commitment should be. What I haven't heard is what the business community's commitment is. I hear a lot of stuff that we need to reestablish these educational links and things like that. But Milwaukee's history is we had that system, and you know, with the vocational. In fact, when I was in high school and junior high, you know, I could run a lathe and a grinder by the time I was 15, and I got a job right out of high school. But the fact is that commitment to the workforce was shattered by the business community. And now people are extremely leery when they hear about, you know, we have to push people into technical things, we have to push people into certain sectors that are here, but will they be here tomorrow, and will they be a long-term investment? So if you could just make a comment on what we can count on as the commitment from the business community.
Well, I'm not entirely sure I understood your remark about an event that propagated a shattering of confidence in business's commitment to its workforce.
Well, I can elaborate on that, and it's simple. You, like I said, I grew up in the 80s. That's when the workforce, the manufacturing workforce in southeastern Wisconsin was shattered by companies leaving for either the south, like Alabama. You can go to Wisconsin Motors. There's now, you know, Telenine, all those companies, you know, they relocated to places like Alabama, Mexico, all of this kind of stuff. And now then it went to the next level to from Mexico to China. So you have a lot of people that expected to be a machinist and make a good wage, you know, for their career, and that was shattered because they found it was cheaper to get things done elsewhere. So now we should invest millions of dollars into this new technology, and maybe it will be here for 5 or 10 years until they decide to move it to a different country or a different state that has lower wages.
Well, I think the simplest answer to that, Supervisor Weishman, is this. Those companies you have named that left, I think their reasons varied, but they tended to be common to one of three things: lower wages, a larger ready workforce, and in other cases, if they left to offshore locations, it was a belief that they were going to lock in structurally low wages for the indefinite future. But those companies that stayed here, they stayed here for a reason in most cases, and we've tested this with many of these companies. And they stayed because of the quality of the educational system in the state of Wisconsin. They stayed because of the quality of the workforce. And they stayed because they believed that their future was here. And those companies have done, in most cases, pretty darn well. There are exceptions. Our paper and pulp industry is contracting. It's under threat by foreign import encroachment. But in our driver industries, energy, power, and controls, for example, we continue to outcompete other industries. And what we're seeing now by companies that may have outsourced labor, may have outsourced production, is a reverse flow right back into Wisconsin again. And this trend is not only noticeable, it's now also measurable. And there's been a recognition, I think, particularly over the last 3 years, that the state of Wisconsin has a serious commitment to stabilizing and enhancing its business environment, to make this a stable place to do business, to create certainty where there was not certainty, to create friendly fiscal and tax policies that stand up well to competitor peer states and external locations outside of continental U.S. And those companies that did stay have done extraordinarily well. Many of those that left have had uneven fortunes, to be frank with you. And I get a very clear signal from companies that you would well recognize in this region of the state that they intend to stay here, that this is the place that they want to be because they believe it's right for their business model and their business future. And I don't frankly think that we're going to see the equivalent mass evacuation that we saw through the 80s and 90s in southeastern Wisconsin and Milwaukee that we saw then. And one of the reasons for that is that your industrial mix has changed. Many of these industries that left, they competed on cost. And companies that compete on cost have very short lifespans because there's always a way to do it cheaper and faster. These companies now are beginning to compete on the quality of their technology, the quality of their innovation, and the quality innovation of their productive processes. And that's a completely different kind of competition that we actually excel in. So I have less worry about repetition of what happened in the 80s and 90s than I have confidence that we're going to continue to advance across our most competitive industries.
I'll leave it at that.
Supervisor Mayo has another follow-up question.
It's just simple. I know that you are into the business industry and that you are looking at the different sectors and dealing with the business of bringing foreign competition, well, bringing all types of business to the state of Wisconsin. What about the brain drain that Wisconsin is losing for people who can't open up business and say the business climate for them is not conducive to stay in Wisconsin? And particularly in southeastern Wisconsin, you have more African Americans who come here, engineers, and can open their own firm up, but they say, I got to get the hell out of here. So how can you save those individuals who have the expertise, have the quality, who should start opening business? I like you when you talk about bringing retirees, that's like scope, mm-hmm. bring retirees back in and help
them. Our model, yeah.
Right. So, but you lose a lot of individuals.
We do. And we've measured that. We have a pretty good reading on the percent of those people that we're losing. There are several different things that we're going to do. First of all, we're going to have to, as a state, working with the universities in particular, and the technical colleges, start creating platforms and mechanisms to integrate this workforce in preparation with the actual end users that can employ them when they're finished with their formal education much better than we have done historically. And I think there's a growing recognition that needs to happen. That's one of the things that we're doing with the Financial Services Consortium, is asking these members, what are these specialized skill sets that you need? How many of them do you need? And then we've run the projections for how many more we think we're going to need over the next 5 and 10 years. And then going back to the universities and the technical colleges and saying, this is the curriculum we need. This is what the end users say you need to produce in order to be useful to them, the end user. And we're doing that across multiple industries now. And that kind of integrated marketing effort, where we're bringing the end user much closer to the pipeline of supply of this workforce earlier in the creation of the workforce, I think will help us to make some positive inroads into the loss of some of those qualified people to other markets. I mean, we've measured this across several radiants. We've looked at several variables. And one of the reasons, for example, in financial services that we lose so many of our finance graduates, our actuarial graduates, which are tend to be pretty small in number here, into what is a driver industry in Wisconsin, and that's finance, insurance, and banking, is to Chicago, New York, and Minnesota. But that's Minneapolis, only Minneapolis. And we've measured what the wage differentials are there. We've measured what the completion numbers are in Wisconsin and how many of those people go there. And in many cases, the reason they do that, and it's a difficult thing for us to compete against, is that they can move to Minneapolis with an actuarial degree, and if they should lose a position at one company, they don't have to change states to find another slot at another company, because like in financial services, almost 80% of everything in the state of Minnesota is in Minneapolis-St. Paul metropolitan statistical area. Here, that's divided evenly across other, about 46%, and then Green Bay, Madison, and Milwaukee. So there are certain competitive quotients that places like Chicago and Minneapolis have that we're never going to be able to replicate, and so we're going to have to compete on other drivers. And one of those drivers is going to have to start pulling these people into the recruitment pipeline earlier in their educational preparation and not later, because we've tended to divide those things. We've tended to say it's a stage gate. You do K-12, okay, you pop on over to secondary, okay, you pop on over to post-secondary, and not until you're done there do we want to talk to you. No. We've got to start this conversation much earlier in the K-12 cycle in order to retain these people who are qualified graduates from post-secondary education.
The one question I had was on financial services being 15% of the sector. I had the opportunity to take an all-day seminar on commercial lending for basically working on CLE credits, and learned that the largest player last year was WIDA. And that was amazing to me, that WIDA was the largest player. When are the banks going to get back into the business of lending?
Well, banks, as I think we all understand, are relatively conservative in their business models. And they've got to see the pre-existing demand, qualified pre-existing demand, that is qualified credits first, before they actively go out and promote their lending supply. The other complaint they'll tell to you is that due partly to Sarbanes-Oxley, and then Graham and some additional regulation that appeared post-recession, that their compliance burden is excessive, and that what was previously an ability to qualify and extend a credit has been severely constrained by compliance and regulation, which doesn't permit them to do that anymore. So their costs have gone up. Their ability to extend credit has gone down, although we're beginning to see some moderation in that. And my honest feeling is that at a point, because post-recession, I'll be clear in my opinion on this, our reflexive response to re-regulate the banking sector went too far, and it went too fast, because the actual underlying exposure in financial health and stability was not in the community banks, not in the small commercial banks. It wasn't to a large extent even in the regional banks. It was in the super regional banks and the money center banks. But everybody was regulated equally everywhere alike, and I think that was the wrong move. And I think some of that's going to have to be unwound, because it's severely constraining the credit capabilities of qualified healthy financial institutions in the state of Wisconsin and beyond that really were not offenders. They weren't extending risky subprime mortgages. They weren't amassing derivative portfolios pumped full of mortgage-backed securities and the like. It was the big fry who are the principal offenders there, but everybody's had to pay the price. And I'm hopeful that within the next year to 2 years at least, a more careful examination of that difference will be made and adjustments to legislation will be made to free these smaller, more stable institutions centered in communities from this massive regulation that's really a burden on them.
I totally agree with what you said there. Those that were the offenders should have been regulated, but hopefully we'll get there. Thank you for coming to the committee. I think you provide a perspective that we often don't get, and it's helpful, even with the tend to be the more micro issues that we deal with, but it's helpful to have the big picture. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go on to item two. Madam Clerk, would you call in?